Hello, welcome to our virtual service. My name is Caleb Ray, and I'm the evangelist for the Rock Church of Christ in Charlotte, Tennessee. We've been able to meet physically for a while now. Unfortunately, we have gone back to virtual services due to the rising cases of COVID. And for all of our members, please make sure you're keeping those in your prayers that are either struggling with the virus or symptoms of the virus or their families are. It's interesting to me that this is the Sunday that we had to change our services back to virtual. 3 years ago this week, I moved to Dixon to work with the church at Rock. And that Sunday was a little different as well. It was my first Sunday. We woke up to a little snow and ice. And so the men decided to have one service later in the day. And so that's what we did for my very first Sunday at Rock. So here we are 3 years later, the very first Sunday of January, and we're meeting virtually instead. But I'm so glad you're joining us this morning as we look at God's Word. You know, we've just finished 2020, and in many ways, it was not the year we wanted. It was not what we expected. It was not what we had hoped for. And looking back on it, there are several things maybe many of us are glad are gone with 2020 and we're hoping don't follow us into 2021. What I find interesting is so many times we see things that look to be different and yet they are the same. Let's use the Sunday from 3 years ago as an example. Here we are 3 years apart. And you have one Sunday that services are canceled and changed because of weather, and another Sunday where services are changed because of a pandemic that we're currently facing. While they are two completely different situations, they've resulted in something similar in that services were affected by them. When we look at this last year, and we think about the beginning of 2020, you know, on the first Sunday of last year, I don't think any of us imagined we would be where we are today. I don't think any of us expected to have this situation. We knew the word coronavirus. It had started appearing in the media in December of 2019 as a virus affecting China. And starting to creep out a little bit. And I remember thinking in December, oh, yeah, that's not going to get to the United States and not going to get to Tennessee. And fast forward a little bit, you have the first case in America. March comes, you have the first case in Tennessee. And by the end of March, our governor has issued a stay-at-home order effective for the month of April. And we were under lockdown, and that's when we started meeting virtually. And then we transitioned back to the church building. And when we look at what all happened last year, I don't know how many of you remember, but we started out the year like probably 99% of other people with a 2020 vision. We were going to use the year to focus our eyes on God. We planned on doing our elder series, which we've accomplished most of that. We've got a little bit more that we'll pick up when we're back in the building. And while it didn't go the way I planned, or any of us planned, I think if we look back on 2020, it should teach us to check our vision a little bit more. We need to have our eyes opened that we can see what's really in front of us. You know, oftentimes we look at the world situation and we think about how horrible it is, what's going on in our society, how sinful, how wasteful, how horrible it is. And I know I've heard from many friends that say, oh, the Lord must be coming soon because of how wicked things are. Things are bad in many places. People do not treat each other the way they should, and they do not treat God the way they should. But my friends, maybe we forget Genesis chapter 6 and looking at Noah. You know, as bad as this world gets at times, think about in Noah's days, 8 souls made it out alive. the wickedness of that generation was so great that God was sorrowful that he had made man. He was sorrowful for his very own creation. Our God, our Lord, the creator of all things in this earth, was sad because of mankind. And so he decided to wipe them out, and only one family found favor in the eyes of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, or in the eyes of God. And so you have one man who rises above the wickedness of his generation to serve God, to honor God, to follow his commandments. And we know from other scriptures that throughout the time that Noah's building this ark, which isn't just a few months, like some of the houses that go up around here, this is several decades of time that are going on in building this boat, this ark, to carry these animals and these eight individuals safely through the water. Noah is not only doing God's work in that regard, but he is also preaching and teaching to so many around. He is trying to show them God. And yet when those waters start flowing, eight souls are saved. And so we may think that this world around us is so immensely wicked. And in some ways that is. In some ways we have serious issues in our country and in our world. But my friends, we're blessed at Rock to have more than eight souls. And we are one small group of God's people. And so sometimes we lose sight of what's going on. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, when the king of Syria is coming to war against Israel, the servant of Elisha comes to him and says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" When he sees this great army with horses and chariots surrounding them in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 16, Elisha says, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You know, I'm looking around here right now, and I'm the only person here. And if there was to be an army besiege me in this office, I hope you say nice things about me. I'm sure this servant is looking around, and he's looking out at the city, and he's seeing all these chariots, and he's seeing all these men, and he's going, "Where? Where are they, Elisha? It's you and I here." And so, verse 17, Elisha prays and asks God, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This young man, I'm calling him a young man, the man that is the servant of Elisha, has his eyes opened. And he can see beyond what's directly in front of him. And the Lord grants him the opportunity and the ability to see out past. We are often like the servant in this story. We take a look at what is immediately around us, and maybe that's all we're concerned about. Maybe that's all we think society is what we can directly see. You know the old saying, if I can't see it, it didn't happen? That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means we didn't see it. We become so focused on the issues around us that we lose the big picture. You know, throughout this quarantine, which I've been in three times, and very thankful to have stayed healthy through it all, you know, I have had individuals, both church members and friends from the community, offer to bring food to my house. One actually did, offer to do grocery shopping for me, offer to take care of multiple things for me. Through these quarantines, I was able to stay inside my home with the heat on, a movie to watch or a TV show to watch, software to where I could still work here at the tax firm while being at my house, able to talk on the phone with friends, catch up with long friends that I haven't talked to in a while, be able to read my Bible, be able to enjoy the comfort of home, cook a good meal, be able to experiment with a little food, take care of what I needed, pay my bills, and exit from quarantine however many days later. Each of those three times. And, you know, so I could say, oh, woe is me, because I've had to stay inside my house so many times. In the second quarantine, I did that. I was fed up with being in my home. But, you know, throughout this pandemic, we've had people lose their lives. Family members lose their loved ones. Friends gone. We have had society turned on its head. We have seen that we are not prepared in some situations. We've had individuals leave. We have had so many things happen to our friends and our relatives and people we don't know. In other countries, the death rate, maybe not the death toll, but the death rate is high. In other countries, you have individuals who are unable to work. In this country, you have individuals who are unable to work. And, you know, through this whole process, I've been okay. And so I can become focused on what happens right around me and what, how sad it is and how bad it is. You know, Christmas is my favorite holiday, and I spent it watching action movies on my couch. I made homemade pizza, and I had someone bring me Christmas dinner, very nice of him. And I'll be honest, it felt bad, because I like being with my family. But you know, I'm going to get to see them in a week or so, after everyone's well. We're going to get to have our Christmas, and we're going to get to enjoy each other's company. And no, it's not going to be the same, because it's not at Christmas time. But I have friends who aren't going to get to spend another holiday with a family member. And I have friends who Christmas will not be the same for a while because of things that happened in 2020. And so, retrospectively, if I don't focus maybe necessarily on just what's happening right around me, and I see the bigger picture, maybe I become more grateful for what 2020 did bring me. Maybe I become more thankful to God for what 2020 taught me. It's funny because we wanted to do 2020 vision. We wanted to have 2020 perfect vision, something that I've never been able to have. But really, I think 2020 did teach us what was important. This time last year, first Sunday of 2020, how many of us would have thought that we would take for granted the every other month singing at someone's house? You know, there was one planned the weekend that all this started, and we canceled it, rightfully so. We've not been able to have one since. Who would have thought that we would have taken for granted a potluck where maybe the same old dishes are served every single time? Who would have thought we'd taken for granted shaking someone's hand? You know, in our society today, a handshake means so many different things, but for a lot of people, it's just emotion. Oh, hi, how you doing? Stick out your hand. People shake, go on. How about a hug? Seeing people that you've not seen in a while, and you don't hug them because it's maybe better that you don't, in case you're carrying or they're carrying something. But you miss that warmth. You miss that love and affection that is shown towards each other. Going out and spending time with friends. going out and sitting in each other's homes and playing cards or playing games, eating a meal together, spending time together, getting to know each other outside of work or outside of church services or outside of family functions, and all that's pretty well gone. Who would have thought we would ever take for granted sitting down together and enjoying a conversation where I can see your smile and you can see mine? 2020 has taught us, I hope, that the little things we can take for granted can disappear in a minute. And hopefully 2020 has taught us that some of the minor issues we have are not nearly as important as they once were. You know, in a year where we've had so much stress and strife, hopefully we've learned how to treat each other. You know, I cannot wait until this virus calms down. I cannot wait until the day in which we can come back to services, sit in my old pew, not have to be socially distant in the pews, be able to give a hug to each other, be able to shake each other's hands, be able to go to someone's house and sit down and sing a song. And you know, so many times we are too focused on what our house looks like, on what our dinnerware looks like, and so maybe we don't invite people over. And then we reach a year like this, and the ones who are inviting people over all the time don't because of the situation, and we learn, oh, I really miss that. Maybe when things are better, I can be the one to invite to my house because I miss people. And so looking at this from a biblical standpoint, we can allow our eyes to be clouded by what's in front of us. We can allow ourselves to get so focused in the situation of this pandemic that we lose sight of God's commands. We lose sight of what God wants you and He wants me to be doing. And so, my friends, as we're going into 2021, we have no idea what this year will hold. You know, we've all said we want 2020 to be over. We're ready for 2021, especially after the last few weeks. Let's hope 2021's a little better to us, because 2020 taught us you don't know what's around the corner. But looking at 2021, for at least part of this year, this pandemic is going to still be with us. We need to be concerned. We need to be careful that we do not impact others and hurt them health-wise. But my friends, if we get trapped in that cone view of what's right in front of us, we're going to forget that God still has commandments for us. We are not able to meet right now. That does not excuse that we are to be encouraging each other. That does not excuse that we are to be caring for each other. That does not excuse that we are to take time to be with each other, maybe virtually instead of physically right now. We need, in a time like this, to draw closer together and not further apart. It is so easy with this pandemic for us to sit in our homes, and when we do get to come to services, come in right before, wear our masks the entire time, leave and go home. And maybe it's one service a week, that's what we were doing right before we canceled. But if that's our only interaction with each other during this pandemic, we slowly slip down a slope of God and my Christian family are not important. you know, prior to this pandemic, we were getting together for two Bible studies a week, two worship services a week. There was classes being taught in town. There was potlucks and singings at each other's homes about every other month. There were opportunities for fellowship. We had, you know, a lunch down at a restaurant once a month, a breakfast down at a restaurant once a month. We went to each other's homes. There was all these things going on. And now pandemic hits, we're getting together once a week, and it's kind of, I like my time. And if I'm not careful, my eyes will fool me into thinking that my time is my time. Just because we're not assembling doesn't mean that we're not required to give to God part of our time. And so what are ways in which we can practice, like what Peter says, in practicing hospitality without complaint during this time? Maybe I'm not comfortable having people into my home because of the current situation. Maybe I'm not comfortable going over to someone's home because of the current situation. Maybe I'm not comfortable eating in a restaurant with other people because of the current situation. Does that excuse my obligation? And so the challenge becomes for 2021, just as it was in 2020, how do I rise above the current situation and stay faithful to God? How do I practice love for my brother while socially distant, yet needing to be spiritually together? And so here's some tips, if you'll let me offer some suggestions. One, pick up the phone. This is one that I've not been as good at this last year because I've been too focused on my time around me and not seeing the need to talk to others. Pick up the phone, text, call, check on our brethren. Whether that be members of our congregation here, friends in another city, friends in this city, spend time checking on each other. Do little things for each other. We may not be able to eat a meal together, but we can cook a meal and drop it off. We may not be able to spend time together, but we can do things for each other. Elderly member needs something from the store. Don't you get out. I'll go get it for you. Let me do that for you. Pray. Prayer is one that is often neglected. And in a time like this, it should not be an afterthought. Last night, I sent out to all of our members who get the emails a list of individuals to pray for. Friday night. We need to take that list and be praying for our brethren. Be praying for each other, not just when we're on the prayer list, but praying for each other all the time. 2020 was hard on a lot of people. 2020 was hard as a congregation. So have we been praying for each other? Have we been praying for those who struggled? Have we been spending time talking to God about those we care about? Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about every joint of the body being fitted together by what every joint supplying, the church growing. It's easy for us to see the current situation and go, well, no one expects us to be growing right now because of the way things are. I think God will understand, don't you? The church grows when everyone does their part. And that doesn't always mean growing numerically. That's what we often think of with our vision of what growth means. However, growth can mean growth in strength, growth in togetherness, growth in knowledge. And so we need to spend time with each other and doing our own part so that we as a church may grow together. When we think about the world and the society we're in, it is so easy for us to think the end is near because of how wicked things are. Going back to Noah, who lived in one of the most wicked, if not the most wicked time, in which the entire world was destroyed but those eight souls. What was he doing as he was preparing for God's judgment to come? Telling others. We become so wrapped up in how bad things are that we say God must be coming soon, Jesus must be coming soon, and this world will end. Things have been bad before in the Bible. Situations have been horrible. Worlds have been wicked before now. But throughout the history of the Bible, you have individuals taking a stand for God. And sometimes it feels lonely. Sometimes it feels like the servant. Just you and I. Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. So the Lord opened his eyes, and in the hills and in the valleys, he saw all the chariots and all the men. We may not can see that others are working for God, but they are. And my friends, we need to take encouragement in that and strive to serve God more. 2021 is here. How are we going to handle it? We have no control over this virus. We have no control over what happens this year in some ways. We can control if we spread the virus, if we're careful to sanitize, distance, etc. We can control how we react to situations. But not a single one of us can manually go into the air and take coronavirus out. We don't have that ability. And so the question then becomes, how are we going to handle what we have control over? Are we going to get our vision clouded? And so we become discouraged and we maybe not do what God wants us to. Or are we going to take time this year to realize that 2020 taught us some valuable lessons? We need to be thankful for what we do have. We need to be considerate of others. We need to remember what's truly important. And we need to remember we still have a work to do. I hope in our study this morning, you have been edified and are really considering what 2020 taught you. Its lessons are going to be different for each of us, but I think maybe one that'll be in common is it taught us what's really important. And so, my friends, as we enter 2021, how are you going to make it a year of service to God? And how are you going to make it a year in which you focus on what you need to? It's a question only you can answer. And my friends, as we go through this year, may we remember each other, pray for each other, and may this virus come quickly to an end so that more people are not affected and we can return to some normalcy soon. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a blessed day. May you use God's word each and every day in service to Him. Thank you.